ahead and invite those who are part of the panel to come forward today. I know you look around. Who's here? Well, you guys can join. That's okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You may have to squeeze some seats together to make it up, and I'm going to give my seat up, I think. As they begin to make their way forward this morning, I want to share that, you know, when we talk about discipleship, there are various components we may have to squeeze together and make kind of like a bench. I think the young ones on the end can do that. There you go. Rick, I think there's a seat. There we go. When we talk about discipleship, there's various aspects of discipleship. And as we created our vision statement, we had that in mind. Because to be a disciple and to always be growing in that, I'm really willing to give my seat up, guys. I can stand. So everybody can squeeze down if you want. Okay. All right. That's good. And so that's what our vision statement reflects. It reflects that we need to connect with God and others. It reflects that we need to be growing in our faith and our love through biblical study. And it also reflects that we need to serve in our local community as well as our world. And that's what we do as disciples and followers of Jesus Christ. And today we're going to have a mission focus, and obviously we'll be talking and sharing a great deal about this piece of discipleship that happens through serving. And so I'd like to invite you to bow your heads in prayer with me as we prepare. Gracious and holy God, we do thank you that you bless us and you call us. You bless us richly with gifts that are not intended just to be held to ourselves, but are intended to be shared. And then you call us to go out and to share those gifts. And as you call us, you do equip us, and you are present with us through the hills and through the valleys and through the plains of life, that you are with us. Thank you for these individuals who represent the teams who also were out in mission recently. And just pray that as we hear this message, each one of us may be inspired to grow in our own discipleship. In the name of Jesus, amen. I'd like to begin with a time of introduction. And you guys look so squeezed together. You're more than welcome to take my chair, because I'll sit every Sunday. So anyway, here's what I'd like you to do. Introduce yourselves, go down the line, your name, and why don't you introduce what worship service you usually attend and which trip you're on. So I'll start with the person to my right.
I'm Terry Hinnard, and we go to the 9:30 service, and I went to Henderson.
Bob Hinnard, 9:30 service, and also Henderson.
My name is Natalie. I go to the 11 o'clock contemporary service, and I went to Nashville.
My name is Georgia Ferry, and I usually go to the 11 o'clock contemporary service, and I was also at Nashville.
My name is Lauren Roberts. I usually go to both contemporary services because I work there, and I went on both mission trips.
My name is Rick Chandler. I go to the best service, which is at 8:30. I would encourage you all to go to that service. Very good.
Thank you very much. I'm looking for one individual from each trip to give maybe a one-minute description of what you did on the trip as far as your activity, because like I always say, those are the tools or the excuses that we have that get us out into mission, and we'll talk more about what's more important about mission, but who from each team, one from each team that can give an explanation.
At Henderson, we did painting, and we built a shed to decks. What else did we do?
Doors.
From Nashville, somebody want to say what you did.
All right, so we have two kind of two projects that we work on. So there's a kids camp that some of us worked on, and then there are the like building activities. And so that's when we can help widows or people who can't really help themselves, and we can help their homes to be better so that they feel better and everything's just like nicer for them. And then the kids camps that we make, we go to really poor apartment complexes, and we will create this whole day camp for a week where these kids come from 10:30 to 2, and we play games with them, we give them lunch, and we just get to show them love that they might not get at home, or games that they might not get at home for a week, and it's just an amazing experience.
Thank you. I want to share for me what was my first mission experience, and I was close to both Natalie and George's ages, because I was in youth mission at that time, and my attitude about the mission that I was about, it was a mission outreach to young adults and teens who were struggling with alcohol and drug addictions. And as a youth, and I'm sure the youth leaders and my pastor emphasized this differently, but as a youth, in many ways, I had in my mind that this was an opportunity that we were doing to reach out to those individuals who had these struggles. It was something that we could do for them. They had the need, and we were there to help with that need. And so that was kind of in my mind. But what I learned through my experience is that as a child, I was raised in a Christian family, and I always knew that I was a Christian, and that's what our family was all about. But when I had this encounter, what I learned is what they offered to me. Because in conversation, the many times that we engaged, what I learned is that, yeah, that was faith, but it wasn't yet my faith. And in my having the conversations with them individually, I learned that what was important was that it would become my faith. And so it was as a result of this mission experience that I discovered Christ, my own relationship for myself. So I learned from them. They served me also. So my question to this group is, what did you learn? You know, what maybe was it that God wanted you to experience from those that you served? What did you learn about your faith? What did they teach you? I'll just look for anyone to speak up.
Mostly, for me, it was to be open, to understand their struggles and their plights, but yet their strength in God and in their faith. It's just amazing. And then what you see, what you feel, what you touch, let it impact your spirit and your soul. And it just does that. It touches you deeply. Mm-hmm.
The family we served was very faithful, and we don't usually have that with every family, but they came out and prayed with us, and it was an amazing experience. So we took away a lot. It was more positive this time, I think, because of what we had.
Go ahead.
Sorry. This was my third Nashville mission trip, and time again, it still blows me away how little, like, not really little that you give, because you give your all to these, like, kids when you're playing with them or whatever, but in the short amount of time, you show them love, and the amount of just, like, I don't even know, full love and compassion they return back to you, and just this complete, like, love towards you is just amazing every single year.
Mm-hmm. Natalie, did you have anything to add to that?
When we go and help these kids, we're only there for a week, mm-hmm. but every day they're asking, oh, will you be back here tomorrow? And they just always want to play with us and get to know us so much better, and it means so much to them. We're only there for a week, but that week mm-hmm. means so much to them, and it means a lot to us too. Mm-hmm.
Natalie, was this your first mission trip?
It was my second.
Your second, okay. Lauren, you were both trips. This is kind of amazing, back-to-back 2 weeks. Lauren took 2 weeks away from work and dedicated to both. So, how did they impact you or share with you, either experience?
I think the main thing that I got from this week was that God puts us in uncomfortable situations to help us grow our faith. So I am not a kid person, and I was with a lot of kids the first week, but just gaining, like Georgia said, the love from the kids and the experience we got from them was huge, and then really stretching myself through the second week, because it's a long 2 weeks, but really stretching myself, it really just showed how much God shows up in your life when you really rely on him to get you through the tough times, so
I love it that you shared that you were there on the trip that was all about kids and you're not a kid person. Last hour, one of the adults that was here to share from the same trip said the same thing. So I think what we need to hear is that, you know, these experiences don't necessarily need to be what we're most comfortable with. Probably we will grow and be stretched in major ways when we step out. When we talk about serving, one of the questions I know when we talk about missions, some people ask is, well, why do you go so far away? Why do you need to travel so big distances? Because isn't there enough need in the Hamilton County and Marion County area that it's not necessary for these trips to go, for these persons to go to these far-off places? And I'd like to speak a little bit into that about as we look at the into the New Testament. And if we look at the ministry of the Apostle Paul and Timothy, Timothy was a person that Paul really was mentor, coach, teacher to. In his ministry. Timothy's ministry became what I'll say is a Timothy type of ministry in that he stayed mostly within his local community. Timothy would serve a community and he would serve a church. So when I think about missions, I think of Timothy kinds of persons in this way today. Those are our Sunday school teachers that we have. Those are our small group facilitators. Those are persons who visit in hospitals, when persons are in the hospital, or visit our shut-ins. That's a Timothy local ministry. But the Apostle Paul understood mission to be different for him because he took four different mission trips that took him to many, many different countries. I don't know if there's a map that'll show you, and I don't know if you can see it real well, but if you can see that part of the world, you can see how far traveled he was in a period when it was not so easy to travel. He was in countries like Italy and Greece and Turkey and Syria and Israel and Lebanon. He was all over the map in his because he understood that God was calling him to all ends of the earth. Paul literally understood that message in Acts chapter 1, verse 8 that says, "But you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses to Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world, or ends of the earth." Paul took that literally. He understood that what it said is, you know, you got this time of Pentecost. My Spirit has come down to be within you, to empower you to go out into the world. And he understood what the world was to be to him was to Judea and Samaria. And so he understood that then he was to go once he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. So if someone says to you, why'd you go so far away? Why'd you spend the week far away? Why didn't you just stay here and do something locally? What do you think you gain? Those we serve gain by us connecting.
Well, Patty, I think one of the reasons is we disconnect from our normal lives here, our comfort. We're out of our comfort zone a little bit. There's no phone, minimal internet connection with the Wi-Fi they have there. And the remote locations gives us an opportunity to reflect more on why we're there, who we're serving, fellowshipping with our church family and the community with the people we serve at the houses.
Anybody else?
I agree with that 100%. And on top of it, like, though there is need here and in just India in general, we get called. Like, we have these callings to these places, and for whatever reason, God is telling us, like, that we need to be there. And little do we know, going there can impact you so much. Like, I'm going to El Salvador this next trip, and it's just because I've been called there for so long, the past 2 years, and I've just always wanted to, and I'm so excited to go and experience that. And same as Nashville, I was called there, and so was she, and so was Lauren, and everybody who went on the trip, and it helps us grow so much going to these places that we're called to.
Mm-hmm. Natalie, how do you think it makes, I often think it makes our world smaller. How do you think that happens? Why does the world feel maybe a little bit smaller or more connected is probably a good way to describe it.
Like when we're there?
Yeah, now that you've experienced that, how does that make the world a little smaller or the connection tighter with others in the world?
I think that it makes the world smaller because you get to know so many people. So you just know, even the small little community that you're working with, you get to know everybody so individually. And even if it's just like a small little area of people, you still get to know everyone there. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's so impactful because
here, you know, in Indy, you don't know everybody. You know a lot of people, obviously, but you don't know everybody. But then when you go out, you get to know these small little connections, and then it just opens up your world, kind of.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think it's important that we're excited. I've connected that feeling that Bob referred to, this when you're away, that you're just really there in a way that we maybe don't always live our daily life because we have all these distractions and these other things. And I think that same feeling happens. Stephen mentioned earlier to pray for the Boylan family who are in the hospital with a very premature baby. And as I visited with them this last week, and as I often say to persons who are even in the hospital, isn't it amazing what happens to your experience of God and to how you experience the presence of God when you're in this, suddenly this little hospital room or this mission trip, and that's all you're about. Your phones are gone and everything's gone, but what you're really about is that moment and that experience that you're having right then, and that's all that matters, and how much more open and vulnerable we are to experiencing God and to sharing that with others. And so those moments in life are really opportunities that we can share. Anybody else want to respond to that question?
Basically, when we travel, when we get outside our comfort zone, at least for me, it's a way to learn and grow in your faith, and then to learn to love other people. Basically, you find out we're all the same. We're all the same.
You know, oftentimes, as the picture showed what, you know, what kinds of activities and tasks we did, and those are awesome. I describe those as excuses for us to get together. It's the tool that we use to connect and to go out and do these mission trips. And I do believe that any person in the world, any person in the secular world could go out and do those things. You could get any group together you wanted, any people who wanted to go out into the world and do good, and those kinds of things could be accomplished. Christian mission is intended to be different. And for me, that's not the end. To me, again, that's the excuse to get there. So as Christians, we talk about this time of being together as a time when we share our faith. And sometimes we're with other Christians, so it's not as if they haven't heard about Jesus Christ, but an opportunity as Christians to encourage one another. I like it where Paul puts this kind of challenge right in our faces. He said, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And right up front, he was making a statement. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you love and accept Jesus Christ, you will be saved. So he makes that statement right up front. But then he goes on. For everyone, but how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? So he makes the statement, this needs to happen. This information needs to be out here. And then he immediately turns right back around and he says, he poses the question to us, how is it going to be accomplished? Who can accomplish that? So how did the faith experience, the sharing, happen for you guys? You know, did you share theirs, and how did they share their faith with you?
Well, one of the experiences we had, this is probably profound for us, is our eighth trip, and this is the first time we've experienced this. Our every morning and every evening when we were at the work site, we prayed with the family and our team. We all got in a big circle. This one evening, we started it out, and I think it was Bill Leonard that was leading the prayer, and he got about two or three words in, and the family, the husband and wife, both took over the prayer and just poured their hearts out and appreciation and blessing our team for being there to do the work. And that was really impactful, very impactful.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else can jump in?
So, on one of the last days we were there, it was like our water day, and we were eating lunch, and my friend Ellie and I, we saw this little kid eating alone, and so we went and sat with him, and a couple other kids came and sat in the little circle we were in, and we were just talking, you know, about, you know, family life and just casual conversation, and then one of the kids asked what was prayer, and so we we got in a circle, we all held hands, and we prayed. And at the end of the prayer, Ellie and I both started crying because it was so impactful, just knowing like we had shared part of what God can do for people.
And as you shared in tears at that time, I can guarantee you that was the same that happened in this home.
One thing that I really noticed that just really impacted me, so usually on these trips, there's our church and then three or four other churches. And they're pretty big churches, so we're always like this big group of people, and we just kind of stay secluded to our own church, and like we get really close, but we don't get super close with the other churches. We'll do games and mix each other up and things like that, but at the end of the day, we're always together, and like they're together and they're together. And on this trip, it was totally different than any of the other ones I've been on, because it was just our church and another church, Paragold. And the most amazing thing was, so we would have these devotionals every morning and night, and then another one at night with just our church. And both in the morning and the evening ones, when it was both churches, you could walk into the room where we would have the devotional and look over the crowd of people and not be able to find your people, because it was so mixed up and everybody was talking and everybody was becoming so close that everyone was your people. Like, it wasn't like it was just CUMC youth. Like, it was everybody. Everybody ended up being your family. And on the last devotional with just our church, that was like late at night when everybody else had gone to bed normally, we all got over to this separate area of the church where we always did it, and you looked in the circle of the CUMC kids, and there's just some Paragold kids just sitting there with us. And a couple more walked down the hallway, and before like we knew it, we were all just sitting in this giant circle, and it was everybody who was awake in general. Like, it wasn't just our church. It was all of the youth that was awake, because we had all come so close that everybody was welcome, and it was just such an amazing thing to watch and see.
Lauren or Rick?
I want to say, you know, the two stories that were told were really powerful things, you know, the family in Henderson and the kids learning how to pray, but one of the most impactful things for me was watching our kids grow. So these two ladies next to me are incredible, but they, all the kids, you know, they are learning kind of how to follow their faith during the week, and they're learning how what they do impacts the people that we serve. And so I think for me, one of the most important things was seeing them support each other, seeing them support the kids, and the growth that they all got from the week in Nashville was just, it was astounding to watch how far that they all came in their faith together. So,
yes, we did share our faith a lot. I recall many times when we put a screw in wrong, we go, "Thank you, Jesus." Or when we cut a board wrong, "Thank you, Jesus." Or when we painted something incorrectly, "Thank you, Jesus." So we were always sharing our faith. It is interesting. I've been to Liberia, Sierra Leone, Africa, Mexico, Guatemala, in Frakes, Kentucky, and it's amazing, people who have so little have so much faith, and it really makes one of us, all of us, look at ourselves and just thank God for how much we have when those people have so little, but their faith is so strong. It's amazing, truly.
I appreciate that you shared that, because when we talk about the faith sharing, so often, yeah, that's the witness it is to us, no matter where we are, as you go into a place where you think, oh my gosh, what do they have? They have a lot, and they teach us that, that's for sure. That's without a doubt. You've had a great mission experience this time. Some of you, well, no, nobody's the first time this time, so it's all returners. So these are all people that have returned to this mission trip kind of stuff. And so I know, having done mission quite a bit myself, I know that come back, I am transformed in some way every time, and so and also challenged. So my question to you is, so what's next for you? How have you been impacted so that your life has changed in the way that you live it going forward?
I think every time we go, and I'm thinking back on our small group. When we're any discussion we have in our small group, it always comes back to experience in Henderson. Mm-hmm. And we've always, so anybody new in our group is going to go to Henderson because, you know, we talk it up and say how powerful, you know, where our experiences have been. I want to say that you can do anything when you go, you can do anything. Women are so needed because the women are so lonely there, and they just need someone to talk to, and they're very sad when we leave. You can even supervise like Bill Bennett does most of the time. but it's so don't ever think that you can't do anything because you are a witness there, and they really need just companionship. Mm-hmm. So.
I'm going to jump in and speak to that a little bit. I was going to save it for the end, but I'll say that is a key element, and oftentimes we talk about that. Terry referred to Bill Bennett sitting here in the front, who has gone for a couple trips now, and Shirley is sitting over here on this side. I've spotted you, Shirley, and they always say a pastor knows where people sit in the pews. I can find you and know if you're not here. Shirley is here, and Shirley, this was her first mission trip. I want you to know something about these two individuals and one other individual on this trip. They're over the age of 80. This was Shirley's first mission trip over the age of 80. So what does that say to us is that, like Terry said, you know, it's not just being able to do the physical work that maybe some of these trips do, but it is the relationship, because as we said over and over to Shirley, you'll have plenty to do, believe us. We know exactly what we need you to do. And her role was to visit with the homeowners, the sites that we are on. And I know that if you take an opportunity to talk with her, she'll tell you that the homeowners invited her to come to live with her and to live with them, and that they would give her a bedroom and feed her and take care of her. Because as we serve in these communities, I think what we often discover is persons are hungry for companionship and communication. And we can't talk about that piece of our experience enough. Okay, I'll be quiet. Who wants to go next?
So one of the things that was kind of an impact when we got back was actually leaving. So the very last day, we were just about to get in the van, and we spent an extra 20 minutes just sitting there and hugging all these kids because we didn't want to leave them behind. But we know that we had planted a seed there. Mm-hmm. So the next year, when either we came back or if it would be another church, they would remember and they would know that they would get that experience again. And that's one of the main things that impacted me, is that leaving that seed. Mm-hmm. We can leave one there and even here. Mm-hmm. Just anywhere we go, we can leave one.
Absolutely.
I know that I talk a lot, but I have two little small things. So when we were leaving, I worked the first 2 days at the kids' camps, and then the second 2 days on the work sites. And our work site was at this girl's house. Her name was Heavenly, and she had very, very severe Down syndrome. She is 16 years old, and I'm 16, so we connected really fast. She had super long, like, blue hair, and she was just sweet as pie. I mean, I can't tell you, like, a sweeter heart than hers. But the last day, we had connected really, really closely, and we were telling her goodbye, and she started crying. And she ended up coming over to our bus, got onto the bus, buckled in the bus, and did not want to get off the bus because she did not want us to leave. And it took 30 minutes.
Georgia tried bribing her.
I did. With Oreos. Yeah. And it just didn't work. And she sat there just bawling because she had made friends, and that hadn't happened to her. Because it's summertime, so there's no school, and even at school, her caretaker said that she really doesn't have a lot of friends, and it was just so, so heartbreaking to, like, feel like I had put this, like, trust in her, like, that she trusted me, and then I was just leaving. And that's one of the really, really hard things with these kinds of mission trips, is that you don't want to leave, because you leave this impact, and it's very hard leaving. But my second thing, and I'll make it fast, so I have gone on three. You know this. And my mom can vouch for this. all 3 years except for this one, I'll come home and I've learned of this new thing. I'm blanking on the word. What is it called? What? When you come back, culture shock. Culture shock. So the first year I was told that this would happen, no idea what it really was. I was like, okay, it'll be a different place. Came home and I was a mess. I was mean all the time. She knows this. We went to a car museum the day we got back because it was Father's Day, my very first year, and I had a mental breakdown in the car museum. Second year I came back, wasn't as bad because I had experienced it before. I was just really missing that feeling, and then this year I was able to come back and actually tell my mom what we did, because the first 2 years I would come home and go straight up to my room and just cry. Like, I couldn't tell her anything because I get so mad and just blah. And so it's just crazy to be able to time and time again experience it and be able to not accept it because it's a terrible thing, but be able to know that I can do it again and know that I can help more and be able to actually confront the feeling of culture shock.
I want to speak back a little bit when you said about the relationship you make with these children. Rick and I and some others went to Sierra Leone, one of our first trips, I don't know, it was 2000, 2001, and we became very attached to a village of orphans. They were orphaned because of the Civil War. And if you ever come in my office, you'll see some very large pictures of, I don't know, 3, 4, 5, 6 of these children who were orphaned as a result of the Civil War, and look forward to the opportunity to be, I'm going to Africa on mission this fall, and I have the opportunity to go back and see these kids, you know, 10 years later as teenagers now. So it's a real blessing. It's a blessing. Anybody else?
I can say a lot of things. You know, the kids at the day camp, most of their parents are refugees, so when we're not there, their parents literally shut the door and lock them inside. And they don't get anybody to play with them or love on them. You know, the folks in Henderson, you know, the average income is less than $13,000 a year. So, I mean, these people are in unique situations. And, you know, some of the kids at the end of the long day, I mean, I literally had to pick some of them up off of the floor who were just crying and just, you know, they had just given everything. And, I mean, same for the people in Henderson. And On my last day, after two very long weeks, one of the guys looked at me and said, "So, what's your plan for next week?" And I thought it was kind of a funny question, but then it's kind of like, what is your plan? When you spend 2 weeks in a row serving God's purpose, I think the main thing that we all need to focus on is, what is God's great commission for our lives, and what is He calling us to do, and just continually seeking His purpose for us in all that we do in every day, not just on mission, but when we're at home as well, so...
I'm going to kind of wind this down a little bit. Thank you very much, everyone, for sharing. Can we show our appreciation? So now I'm going to turn away from all of you and turn to the congregation. And my question for you to take home is, so what's your excuse? You know, not, and I do understand that there are some very real reasons why people cannot go on excursions. But I also know that sometimes we come up with too many excuses because it may be too difficult or be outside our comfort zone. Terry and Bob, I don't know if you see them around the church, but they also have their daughter Katie is special needs and in a wheelchair. And Katie is always a part of the teams for the 8 years that they have gone. And so they forego some of the conveniences that they have in their home to take care of her, to stay as a part of the team and to serve on a regular basis. So my question is, so what's your excuse? And again, I said, you know, we had Shirley and Bill's gone and Roseanne and all of them over the age of 80. So what's your excuse? And sometimes there are excuses why legitimate reasons. But so if you have legitimate reasons, so what's your excuse to not connect and be a part of the trip? When we talk about the financial needs or the donations that are needed for these trips. So what's your excuse? And finally, for me, most powerfully, the prayers that are needed to surround these teams, to keep them safe, but also for the impact that they can have as they share their lives together. Prayer is a powerful way to connect with these trips. So what's your excuse to not connect in mission?
I'd like to close with a word of prayer, please. Gracious and holy God, we do praise you and thank you that you call us. Thank you for these individuals who have gone out and who are called and now transformed. I pray that you will continue to nudge them to grow in the way that they know you and serve you. And as a congregation, may we truly understand that we are all called to mission. It's just a matter of where it is. And our mission field always is wherever we are in the moment. In the name of Jesus, amen.